You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's November, which also means it's Men's Health Awareness Month. 22 years ago, two friends decided to grow mustaches for the month. It started as a joke to bring the mustache back as a fashion trend, but it quickly turned into the movement we now call Movember. Our cover story will focus on November and how it's become an important way to highlight men's health. You may notice many men growing mustaches to bring attention to things like prostate cancer, testicular cancer, and men's mental health. I talk with a New Wisco urologist about Movember and the things men need to be aware of when taking care of themselves. Amanda Nimmer has advice on how to keep your sanity and your kids on schedule when the time changes, which, by the way, it does. Early Sunday, November 2nd, we fall back to Central Standard Time. We also have stories for you on dam safety in Wisconsin and the changes that are coming to Social Security in 2026. Our Pete Schwabe has his classic cinema pick of the week. It's a favorite from my family and a must-watch at this time of year. Perfect for those who love backyard football and pumpkin patches. Speaking of Pete, our musical guest for this issue is Strategic, who recently appeared on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Now we have the opportunity to share a part of that interview and Strategic's music. It's coming up before the end of the hour. First, this time of year can be perfect for a road trip around the state. The weather is crisp, and you may be able to catch the last of the fall colors. We're opening up this issue of New Wisco Weekend by taking a drive along Wisconsin's rustic roads, from Door and Brown counties to Outagamie and Kewaunee counties. Terry Barr shares why life can be better when you're driving in the slower lane.
If you've ever found yourself driving down a quiet back road and thought, this feels special, you might be on one of our state's rustic roads. Sam Osborne can be described as a rustic road enthusiast. Once he drove his motorcycle on a few of the 126 roads winding through 61 counties across the state, he knew he wanted to ride on every single one.
Just being out in the backwoods, away from the busy city life, experiencing nature, being one with nature, experiencing the change of colors with leaves in the fall, the greenery in the springtime, just self-motivation really, just getting out to explore the state of Wisconsin.
And like Osborne, officials wanted people to enjoy the natural beauty by motorcycle, car, bike, or even on foot. Rustic Road number 1 was designated in Taylor County 50 years ago. Here's Rustic Road board member Dennis Schaefer from a recent DOT video news release.
Well, the Rustic Road program was really the brainchild of a gentleman named Earl Skagen. And in the 60s, he and his wife would drive their automobile around the rustic roads of Wisconsin. And Earl was so impressed with the scenery and the beauty, he just really felt it was important that this be preserved for future generations.
In 1971, Earl Skagen advocated for it, and in 1973, it was signed into law. In 1975, representatives from Taylor County nominated the rustic road, where magnificent flora and fauna along the road and lake views were the highlight.
Leah Bonneville is the rustic road coordinator and says every single one is unique, rolling past farmland, through forests, or covering rugged terrain. Most are paved, some are gravel, and the speed limit tops out at 45 miles an hour, sometimes even slower. So it's not about getting anywhere fast. As Osborne has found, sometimes the best part of the journey is the road itself.
get out and start to explore. It doesn't matter what number rustic road, it doesn't matter how many. You don't have to do them all. Just get out and do yourself a favor and ride to at least one.
Find more information and maps of our rustic roads at wisconsindot.gov, then click on Travel. I'm Terry Barr.
Wisconsin has thousands of dams across the state that rely on oversight to keep them up and running. Isabella Nieto has more.
Both private owners and state or federal officials are responsible for keeping them in tip-top shape. I spoke to Uriah Monday, the state dam safety engineer. He says the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is aware of roughly 5,000 dams that exist in the state.
Approximately 40% of the dams in the state are privately owned. The others are either publicly owned or owned by the federal government, or I should say, I guess it's all in the same batch of publicly owned.
Monday says state officials have to make sure dam owners are complying with state standards for dam safety.
In a way, we're maybe like a building inspector in a community, right? We're not constructing projects and we're not running them, but we have a role in making sure that they are done in a sound and safe manner.
Congressman Tom Tiffany has made his experience as a dam tender a central part of his campaigns. Now he's running for governor on that same experience. But what does being a dam tender really mean? Tiffany had a unique take on it.
For 29 years, I was the dam tender up on the Willow Flowage. I got paid to walk the dog every day down in the dam.
Monday says dam operators, as they're now called, are the custodians of the structure.
You know, the misoperation of a dam can cause or exacerbate flooding. It might lead to further damage on the dam. In worst cases, it leads to a washout, right, a failure.
Monday also says if a dam owner is not in compliance with state laws, officials must negotiate with the owner to reach compliance. If that doesn't work, owners can face enforcement hearings or fines. For Civic Media News, I'm Isabella Nieto.
Daylight saving time ends this weekend. You're going to have to start shifting your sleep schedule to accommodate for it. A simple change of the clocks can actually have dramatic impacts on our bodies and our minds. Here's New Wisco weekend meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
On Sunday, we get an extra hour of sleep when the clocks fall back an hour at 2 a.m., resulting in earlier sunrises and earlier sunsets. People with seasonal affective disorder suffer with the shorter days and less sunlight of fall and winter. While this change gives us an extra hour of sleep, the time difference can still cause confusion and disruptions to the schedules for kids and pets. The Journal of Clinical Sleep Medicine says the shift in time change has been associated with increased heart attacks, strokes, abnormal heart rhythms, sleep disruption, mood disturbances, and even suicide. People tend to feel more tired with the less light. A common chemical that regulates that is called serotonin, and that comes from the sun. So it's important to increase your exposure to sunlight during the day, especially in the morning. Be sure to get plenty of rest, get exercise, be active, and make sure to eat a well-balanced diet full of fruits and veggies to regulate your mood cycle. And you can also consider a light therapy lamp. They're designed to simulate natural sunlight and help you. Experts say it's also okay to take naps if you feel fatigued, but limit the nap to 30 minutes and take it before 3 p.m. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Standard time will last until March 8th when we again spring forward with the return of daylight saving time. A couple years ago, a letter from a kindergarten teacher went viral. It described kids the day after Halloween as, quote, hungover raging pterodactyls. Katie Thompson was that teacher. She wrote it in 2022, begging parents not to bribe, quote, groggy elementary goblins with trick-or-treat candy and send them to school with two fistfuls of pixie sticks and a wish, end quote. While I understand her sentiments, what about when Halloween and the end of daylight saving time happens in the same weekend? Yikes. And that's where our commentator Amanda Nimmer comes in.
It's every parent's worst nightmare. Daylight savings time. Oh, God. Because while the rest of you are like, hey, we get to fall back, that means I get an extra hour of sleep. We don't. We don't. It doesn't matter if you have actual children or fur children. Point being, life as you know it is about to become insanity, chaotic, and oh my god, whiny. So whiny. And see, kids don't adjust to the time frames that well. At least most of them don't. And neither do pets. Like my dogs, they get fed at 7 p.m. on the dot for their dinner. And let me tell you, they are very, very upset if I miss that. They stare me down. They paw at me. They get very, very impatient. So the idea of it being 7 o'clock to them, but it's actually 6 p.m. now? Oh boy, that is a recipe for disaster. So what do we do? What do we do to help prepare for the doom, the chaos, all the whining and irritation yet to come? Well, if you're not like me, perhaps you have already started. And see, what you can do is, about a week beforehand, slowly adjust your daily schedule by 10, 15 minutes a day to hopefully, and remember, the key word is hopefully, prepare your children, furry or human, for the upcoming change in schedule. But if you are like me, and you forgot it's daylight savings time, and you're hearing this on a Saturday for the first time, meaning there is just mere hours left before the change. Well, there's a couple things we can do for that too. Now, I mean, I'm not saying this is only for people with strict schedules where you have to eat at these certain times and do this at that time. I'm talking about mainly bedtime and waking up time, or again, feeding time for both furry and human children. Because these three things I listed are insanely important to keep on almost a regular timed basis. So we're down to the wire here. What do we do? Well, there's a couple options. You could, if you're lucky enough, mind you, if you're lucky enough and have a child who doesn't know what the concept of time is yet, aka cannot read clocks yet, you could just slowly adjust their bedtime. Instead of putting them, like for instance, my children have an 8 o'clock bedtime on the dot. And that time afterwards is my sacred alone time, my decompression time. I need that time. Parents, right? Yes. So 8 o'clock could then become 7 o'clock, and you could slowly adjust it daily for the next week or two until they're fully adjusted. Just little increments where it's not too noticeable, but effective, right? However, if you are also like me and do not have luck on your side because your child knows how to read not just a digital clock, but an analog one as well, then putting them to bed at 7, 7:15, 7:30, it's not gonna work. So another option, make their bedtime a little bit later. So that hopefully, and I stress on hopeful again, because don't do this and be like, Amanda, this was a terrible idea. Why? Why did I listen to you? The term hopefully is the key here. That if you put them down just a bit later, they'll sleep in just a bit later. And you can change it, but backwards. So I put them down at 8:30, 8:15, then back to 8 o'clock. And just hope for the best. And yeah. It's just another sacrifice you gotta make as a parent. Losing out on your me time. Oh god. The final option could be doing nothing. Forcing them to have bedtime at the new time. It's gonna feel like a different time of day to them, but it is what it is. So just force them on the new schedule. They'll adjust eventually. You just might have to put up with a couple days of whining. And that's okay-ish. Point being, do whatever is least chaotic and most effective for you. And to all of us, parents of both children and fur children, may the next couple of weeks go in your favor. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you go.
Thank you so much, Amanda. Still ahead, our cover story on Men's Health Awareness Month. We talk with urologist Andrew Mays to learn why seeing your physician every year is the manly thing to do. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This is New Wisco Weekend on your local Civic Media radio stations, WGBW and WISS. You can also find us online at civicmedia.us. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up in just a bit, we're going to talk about Movember and men's health. Right now, we've got Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's Classic Movie Pick of the Week.
For this week's pick, I'm thinking outside the box when it comes to Halloween. Lots of people prefer bags and bags full of candy, but this year, I prefer peanuts. There might not be anything that captures the Halloween mood more than It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, which is this week's classic. Sure, I could have gone with Halloween or Nightmare on Elm Street, but why not a feel-good movie about a group of lovable cartoon kids with big dreams and expectations that only kids can have when it comes to a major holiday? And it's only 25 minutes long. Charles Schulz's It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown came out in 1966 and was well received by critics. It is still considered by many to be the best of the Peanuts specials. The story is set in motion when Charlie Brown is invited to Violet's Halloween party, his first party invite ever. The Peanuts gang goes trick-or-treating before the party, with the exception of Linus, who decides he wants to catch a glimpse of the Great Pumpkin. Much like a child waiting up, trying to catch a glimpse of Santa Claus, Linus plants himself in a pumpkin patch, sure that this is where the mythical Great Pumpkin will appear. He even talks Charlie Brown's younger sister Sally into waiting with him. In the scene, we see just how blind love can be.
What did he leave us? Did he leave us any toys?
I was robbed! I spent the whole night waiting for the Great Pumpkin when I could have been out for tricks or treats! Halloween is over and I've missed it! You blockhead! You kept me up all night waiting for the Great Pumpkin! And all that came was a beagle! I didn't get a chance to go out for tricks or treats! And it was all your fault! Also, what a fool I was! I could have had candy, apples, and gum, and cookies, and money, and all sorts of things. But no, I had to listen to you, you blockhead.
Yes, love has a price, and the cost is missing out on an entire night's worth of candy. The only thing that actually appears in the cold, dark pumpkin patch is Snoopy dancing on a pumpkin. This iconic special is also the first time we see the infamous football gag between Lucy and Charlie Brown.
You just want me to come running up to kick that ball so you can pull it away and see me land flat on my back and kill myself.
This time you can trust me. See? Here's a signed document. Testifying that I promise not to pull it away.
It is signed. It's a signed document. I guess if you have a signed document in your possession, you can't go wrong. This year, I'm really gonna kick that football.
Ah! Peculiar thing about this document, it was never notarized.
Charlie Brown fell for Lucy's gag in every special that followed. The lovable Chasbo. So gullible, but so full of hope. Charles Schulz wanted to be a cartoonist from a very young age. The Charlie Brown comic strip was totally autobiographical, and the Charlie Brown character was based on its author. Schulz was shy and insecure as a child. He was also consumed with comic strips. His father, who was a barber, would bring four different newspapers home after work for Schulz to read just for the comics alone. If you remember, Charlie Brown's father is also a barber. Charles Schulz drew almost 18,000 strips over his 50-year-plus career. Charles Schulz was a staff sergeant in the Army and fought in World War II. He was part of the unit that liberated the Dachau concentration camp. As a result, he would often honor military veterans and his fellow soldiers in his work. Charlie Brown's dog Snoopy even has dreams occasionally of being a fighter pilot. Schulz was the recipient of many awards throughout his life, including the Congressional Gold Medal, and he even received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. After the first airing of It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, children around the country felt so sorry for Charlie Brown only getting a rock while trick-or-treating, they sent candy. Ah, sweet empathy. Lose yourself in this classic story about Halloween and have a great holiday weekend. It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown is this week's classic pick. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on the Civic Media Radio Network. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabba.
It's that time of year when we find out if there's going to be a cost of living increase from Social Security. Joanne Krulotz has that story.
The Social Security Administration announced that Social Security benefits, including old age, survivors, and disability insurance, and supplemental security income payments for 75 million Americans will increase 2.8% in 2026. On average, Social Security retirement benefits will increase by about $56 per month starting in January. Over the last decade, the cost of living adjustment increase has averaged about 3.1%. The COLA was 2.5% in 2025. Nearly 71 million Social Security beneficiaries will see a 2.8% COLA beginning in January 2026. Increased payments to nearly 7.5 million people receiving SSI will begin on December 31, 2025. Other adjustments that take effect in January of each year are based on the increase in average wages. Based on that increase, the maximum amount of earnings subject to the Social Security tax is slated to increase to $184,500 from $176,100. Social Security begins notifying people about their new benefit amount by mail starting in early December. Similar to last year, Social Security beneficiaries will receive a simplified one-page COLA notice, which uses plain and personalized language and provides exact dates and dollar amounts of an individual's new benefit amount and any deductions. Individuals who have My Social Security accounts can view their COLA notices online, which is secure, easy, and faster than receiving a letter in the mail. Account holders can set up text or email alerts when they receive a new message, such as their COLA notice. To receive a COLA notice online, individuals will need to create or sign into their personal My Social Security account and opt out of paper notices by November 19th. Information about Medicare changes for 2026 will be available at Medicare.gov. For Medicare enrollees, the 2026 premium amount will be available via My Social Security Message Center starting in late November. Individuals who have not opted to receive messages online will receive their COLA notice by mail in December. For additional information, visit ssa.gov/COLA.
I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Our cover story is just ahead on New Wisco Weekend. We'll be back right after the news. This is New Wisco Weekend, and I'm Lisa Hale, your host. This week's theme is Movember, which basically boils down to Men's Health Awareness Month. Guys grow out their mustaches in honor of it. It's also called No Shave November. And a lot of attention is directed to things like prostate cancer and testicular cancer in addition to men's mental health. Today, I am joined by ThetaCare urologist Dr. Andrew Mays to talk a little bit about the importance of Movember and the things that men need to think about when it comes to their health.
When it comes to guys, and by the way, I love Movember. When I was in my surgical training, so after medical school, you know, surgical training's anywhere, bare minimum of 5 years or plus. And so we strictly abided by the Movember rules. We started with the 1st of November shaving and then didn't shave our mustache until that last day, actually December, because we'd always have our holiday party that first Friday in December. So if you want to see some goofy looking guys in residency, that was us come end of November. And we abided by the rules. When I mean that, the hair underneath your nose could not connect to the chin. That was a goatee. It could not connect to the, you know, sideburns. That was a beard. So we all had, you know, crazy rocking the mustaches. So I definitely am a big fan of Movember, where we get to focus on men who don't always prioritize their own health and well-being. The way I motivate them is, if you can identify your role in life and what's your passion, what's your purpose, are you going to be better off being optimized for health and wellness in serving that role? I think everybody would say yes, right? I'm a better father when I'm able to perform physically and do all that's required for my kids and have a good mindset when I'm there. And so that means all those healthy activities, yes, getting your screening exams, you know, having the unfortunate exams that where we poke and prod in ways that no one wants to be poked and prodded, but especially that stubborn guy, where they can see the reason we're doing that is for their overall health and wellness so that they're performing at their best on the every day of their life. That's what they need to see. And you know, we here as healthcare workers, and especially at ZetaCare, we're willing and able, and we'd love to motivate guys to do that.
And I know that men, they're just a little hard-headed and tend not to want to go to the doctor that often.
So, yes, okay. Men, as a urologist who uniquely treats men as they age and that prostate causes more and more issues. To your point, men have unique obstacles that men are less likely to see their primary care physician, less likely to have their annual wellness, really check in and make sure their health and wellness are where they need it to be. I try and make a good relationship with my patients. And when it comes to men, you know, here at ZetaCare, most places we're going to check your overall height, weight, blood pressure, take all of your vital signs, make sure that we screen for big things, because you may be coming to see me because you're getting up in the middle of the night to pee more often. But if your blood pressure is significantly elevated and has not been addressed, we're also worried about your risk of cardiovascular disease and heart attacks and strokes. And that's where I take that as a unique opportunity for me to address why you came to see me primarily, and then hopefully sneakily, secondarily, get you to understand promoting regular checkups, early detection of diseases, trying to get you to make healthy lifestyle choices you see is in your best interest, because I see it as a way to coach men to optimize their lifestyle.
As a urologist, at what point do people need to start making maybe regular visits to their urologist? At what point is it, should men start? I mean, like women, we're supposed to start seeing our OBGYNs come puberty when things start moving and changing. What is it like for men?
So I think as a general rule, it's probably good to always see your primary care physician, and health insurance companies have covered in their plan one free wellness exam per year. Now, when I'll be real honest about myself, I wasn't regular in my 30s. Now, I had buddies that could take my blood pressure, and if I had any problem, obviously I was working in and around and with physicians daily and nurses daily. So I obviously was seeing healthcare professionals every day of my life. But I can see also taking the time for oneself. I mean, let's face it, it's maybe 1 hour in an exam room with a healthcare provider for a year. That's not too much to ask of a 30 or 40 year old man to put 1 hour aside so that we're focusing on your health and wellness. So I would say inevitably we should do that, but specific to your point, certainly in the 40s and by 50, that needs to be a regular. And now any deviation from that, any, you know, chronic illness or just even something that needs require medication to keep it in check, then that's obviously annually, if not more.
Gotcha. Two things that Movember really focuses on outside of mental health for men is also prostate and testicular cancer. So how important is it for those things to be detected early?
So it's really important. When you look at problems in general, I'm going to go broad and then we'll get narrow. So an early found problem is a blessing. A late found problem, whether it's, you know, so this was a couple of years ago, but I came home and we had water in the basement. And I was confused. How the heck did we have water in my basement? It wasn't raining. Well, one of our pipes had burst that feeds outside, and it froze, and so we had water in the basement. I would have much rather have seen that before. My whole basement was kind of flooded and we were worried about drywall and mold and all of that sort of stuff. That broad example can be applied to getting regular screenings, such as screening for prostate cancer, screening for colorectal cancer, and screening for testicular cancer. On a regular basis, we can not only track and trend, if we find a problem early, so say, for instance, a PSA, a prostate blood level is elevated, we can easily detect and then hopefully treat that, whether it's with surgery or radiation or some degree of intervention that not only optimizes their quality of life, because that's how I look at diseases. How can we optimize your quality of life? And then obviously the longevity of life. How long can we keep you above ground here, living your best unique life? So another thing is colorectal screening. You know, I'm of that age, unfortunately, where fortunately or unfortunately, I guess it's good to get to that age. But, you know, my rotator cuff tells me my age now and all these other things that I'm just not a kid anymore. I had my colonoscopy. I had a simple polyp removed and I'm feeling good. I have another, you know, 10 years to go before I need to have that done again. And I will tell you, being on the other side, being a patient, I was actually very happy to have that done because of the results I got. And I've unfortunately taken care of other individuals who have not received early and timely care. And that's resulted into less than optimum outcomes for their life. And that's where I want, when I talked earlier about coaching, you know, any patient into optimal outcomes for them, I want them to see what I, and I would say we as healthcare professionals, see for them. We don't have any hidden ulterior motive. We want them to live their best unique life, highest quality of life for the longest period of time.
Absolutely. So that means early screening. That means visiting your doctor on a regular basis to, you know, just to keep track of everything and how it's going. But, you know, early detection of cancer is important, but that's not all that a urologist does, and that's all, not all that men need to think about. We're talking about things like enlarged prostate can happen, kidney stones. Men face kidney stones. Everybody faces kidney stones. I'm going to preface it with that.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
Trust me, I know everybody faces kidney stones. But I know that's also one of those things that is important that men need to think about when it comes to their health.
Yes. So on both of those issues, yes. When it comes to the things that a urologist treats, it does give a interesting insight into your overall health and wellness. So there are certain medical conditions that can put you at greater risk for kidney stones. But I will say that what we think of as the American diet, which is kind of high in sodium, that puts us in an increased risk for kidney stones. And you're talking to a guy who operates on kidney stones and likes to operate on kidney stones. So come see me if you need it. But only kidding there. To some degree, I always tell my patients, hey, I want to take care of your kidney stones, get you stone free, and then we're going to focus on keeping you stone free. So what can we do to help modify and get you to that healthiest diet for you? When we talk about diet, I try not to be on any high horse or where I feel like I know more than you or anything else. I may or may not. That's really not important to me. But I bet you, you know, if you really hone in on anybody, they know what a quote-unquote healthy diet is. They know, you know, vegetables are really important and try and choose healthy fats and good proteins and, you know, limiting alcohol and caffeine. They all know those. But if I can get you to see, those do really make a big difference to your day-to-day life and get you to that optimal state, that's where I think the motivation can follow through. You know, I'm not here again to preach I'm here to try and motivate and get you on that disciplined path. Because the more discipline they have, then the more freedom you can have to that, have that piece of cake for your niece's birthday or your grandchild's birthday. That's okay. Go for it. You've been living a good life. You can have that cheat meal or that cheat treat.
Andrew, thank you so much. I appreciate you. I know that our time is up, but you have been amazing. Thank you, Dr. Mays. And if you
you ended on a pun, I love it. Thank you.
That's Dr. Andrew Mays, urologist with the Theta Care Health System in Ripon and Berlin. And with a focus on Movember, this statistic from the State Department of Health stands out. The most frequently diagnosed cancer among Wisconsin men is now prostate cancer. It represents 25% of all new cancer cases. Coming up, our musical segment featuring Strategic. That's on the way next. This is Civic Media's New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. Let's check out Strategic, appearing on Civic Media's Nightlight with Peach Waba this week.
Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight for the first time Northeast Wisconsin-based singer-songwriter right here into the studio, which is cool. Strategic is here. Hey, buddy.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
It is great to have you here. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right.
You seem a little melancholy.
Getting a little cold out there.
Yeah. How often do you play live?
This year I've played a lot. I've been going pretty hard since May, especially with the album coming out. And May through October is really busy, and then kind of take a little bit of break in January. Usually do some Christmas shows, so that'll be coming up in about a month. But
your dance card is full.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Do you have favorite venues around the area you like to play, and how far will you travel from Appleton for a gig?
As far as like favorite venues, I don't know. I feel like a lot of things are always changing and in flux, so it's hard to pin down. But one consistent thing through the years has always been the farmers markets.
Okay.
So here in Green Bay, I've done every year probably for at least the last 10 years in Appleton. The farmers markets really are kind of the bread and butter.
Okay.
During that, this last couple months. So, and you just get to see all these different kinds of people and how people are engaging with the music, and, even the kids make it really fun. So
tell us a little bit about the song you want to perform and what song.
So I released an album last year called Possibilities, and I'll play the title track for you, which is one of my favorite songs to play live. We talked about the shaker pedal and doing all the looping and stuff like that. So this one's really fun to play live and do all those things. And it just talks about basically, there's every day there's so many choices and opportunities and chances and taking advantage of and hopefully making the best of it.
And what's this song called?
Possibilities.
Possibilities. Love it. All right, here's Strategic.
So many things that could come true today. I don't want to get my own way. I start to wonder if I am living right. Can't help but wonder how I am living life. I just can't deny the way I feel inside. Yeah, I just can't deny the possibilities. So what would you do if you could change your life? There is no guarantee you would always get it right. Take a chance on something new. There is so much to do. And so what will you choose? It's all your point of view.
just can't deny the way I feel inside. Yeah, I just can't deny the possibilities.
I'm sure every musician that starts out, or whatever art form you have, you want to kind of redesign the genre, or you want to come up with something. And everybody says, or at least the people in power say, it's all been done. But how do you still have that desire to do something like that? Or are you just like, this is my niche and this is what I want to get great at? Or do you ever say, I want to do something completely different?
Yeah, I definitely do. That's kind of how the kids' songs came along.
Okay.
That just happened pretty naturally coming out of COVID or during COVID. And
yeah. Where can people hear more of your stuff or find you? Are you on all the basic social media platforms?
Yes, I'm on all the socials, and you can find all my music on Spotify. I always direct people to Bandcamp too, because it's more of an independent option. And it's, they do these Bandcamp Fridays where the artist makes 100%. So I always try to promote that too. And
yeah. So tell us about your new venture with the kids' music. Do you still go by Strategic, or is that a
Yes. Okay. It all kind of happened really naturally with my kids. Yeah, we just started making these silly songs, and just kind of once it started, it was like a waterfall. It was like all of a sudden there's like 28 songs.
Oh wow.
That I had, and that I thought were good enough to to go and record. So I split it up into two volumes, and I released the first one 3 years ago. And then this newest one, volume two, just came out recently.
And your kids collaborate with you on this or give you ideas?
How does that work? Yes. Okay. Yeah. I've brought them into the studio, do some clapping.
Nice.
Some background vocals. And this was a song that I actually got to collab with Green Bay band called Aurelia.
Okay.
They feature on this with some ukulele and background vocals. So. Na, na,
na, na. Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend, your look at Movember and rustic roads. New Wisco Weekend is written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale, directed and produced by Lisa Hale. Our lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features from Brittany Merlot, Isabella Nieto, Joanne Krulatz, and Peach Waba, plus commentator Amanda Nimmer. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.